flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you going to talk, or what's going on here?
Oh, Ken Laird told me that Courtney was hosting today.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry.
You were hosting.
Oh, damn.
I'm Curtis, I don't know if you can see what's going on here, but these guys were running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Well,
like,
I'm
not sure what was going on.
We kept losing audio in here, and we couldn't figure out why.
Oh, really?
But
Good morning. Ken Laird yesterday, at the conclusion of the show, walked me down the hallway, and I was like, okay, it's been a nice run. And he said that Courtney's going to host tomorrow. It's just easier. And I said, sure, perfect. Love when Courtney hosts. No problem. And then I left.
I was under the impression you were hosting.
Yeah, that's great. I love to. I mean, I'm thrilled to do it. I was not trying to be deferential or not, but it is a. I have to just begin with one thing. Wiggy, Courtney, how are you?
Good morning. You look like you already have sun. I don't know how that happens.
So
when you.
So Ken effed up the church's money then.
I'm so confused.
It was so, and it was like I said he almost said it like I don't know, like he was apologizing. I go, Ken, I love when Courtney hosts. It's great. No big deal. Once the show starts, we all just kind of talk. It's not exactly, you know, this like Edward R. Murrow operation here, but that is weird. Either way, I got to Florida yesterday, and I have to brag for 1 second to you two, if I can.
Please,
James. The entire flight, we sat on the runway for an hour. You know what's so rare when you fly JetBlue and you're delayed? It's like never happens. By the way, flew out of Providence. Providence is amazing.
Why Providence, though?
Because the flights out of Boston were insane.
Oh, okay.
So
and Providence is easier to get through.
Yeah, but who wants to drive an hour and 10 minutes to an airport?
Especially if you live in Southie and it's like a 10-minute drive for Curtis. But yeah.
Totally agree, but pick James up. He napped the whole way. We get to the airport, run around. If there's any footage of me schlepping all of this stuff while James is on my shoulders covering my eyes with his hands, I want it deleted right now. But we got in. Amazing people. Several very nice listeners from Providence. The airport was easy. Four and a half hours of total of sitting on a plane. Never complained, never did anything. It was literally like the most miraculous event I have ever been a part of. So I just had to say that off the top. But how are you two this morning?
Great. Can I ask a question since you talked to a bunch of Rhode Island listeners yesterday at the airport?
Yes.
Any feedback on whether or not we should be changing our location from Whalers to Newport? Because I do feel we have that conversation all the time, but it should be in the hands of the Rhode Island listeners.
Yes.
Well, they're not going to want to change.
Yeah, I think what they're going to want is they're going to want to have just another road show. So there are several people, and you guys can attest to this, that when we go to Whalers, they show up and they're like, we were here before this was a thing. Like, that is what catapulted the roadshow into its current sort of just amazing status in the Boston sports media landscape. So I would have a hard time with it, but Greg did say that there will be some other opportunities that we will be doing roadshow adjacent stuff. So I just think that we have to do Newport once and try it, because it was just so awesome when it was its off season last year.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
fair.
Yeah,
we did the car show there. That's Newport,
awesome.
Right?
Yes.
So that was a spectacular
place.
But
do two there. I mean, we don't mind.
Yeah,
no, honestly, it's convenient. It's closer than Springfield.
Yeah, we shouldn't be making any decisions that Greg comes back.
Yeah, it's up to Greg.
But
I mean, let's be honest. It's Greg's show. If he says we're doing two in Rhode Island and Newport and then the other place, then we'll do two there.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. How seriously do you take the two big stories yesterday that were kind of not exactly verified reports, even though we love Dakota? And I would love there to be some real Celtics drama that explains everything. And the fact that Bill Belichick has not signed his contract. Which of the stories, the Dakota story, if you missed it, is that the Celtics are scrambling to trade Jaylen Brown before the trade deadline because they need to get under a certain threshold before selling the team? Or the big breaking news right after the show that Jonathan Jones from CBS reported that Bill Belichick is still not signed and official as the North Carolina head coach. Which of those two do you think are more true and real?
I don't think that the Bill Belichick one is real at all. Immediately after Jordan, girlfriend Jordan, and Mitch, if you're listening to this right now, just pull up her Instagram so that the people on Twitch or YouTube can see. She immediately went hard, posting a ton of UNC photos of her with the Caroline in the background, her and Bill after his introductory press conference. And let me just pull up the actual caption, because she was shutting things down immediately. Mm-hmm. And people could say, well, this is a Brad Marchand, you know, feel the same way I felt about Brad Marchand. I don't think so. That's kind of like a crazy bad PR move if she did this. She said, picture two people who are overtly committed to at UNC football.
Well, yeah, what I would do if I was with someone who was waffling.
Right. I would say this. I would think that, like anything else, you know, where there's smoke, there is fire. And I don't like Jonathan Jones. His reputation's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Based off of what Dakota said about the Vrabel situation, I mean, seems like his scoops are very solid. So if I had to lean, I would lean that there's probably some type of truth to both of these.
Yeah.
Because what's the purpose? And we did this with the Rich Keefe thing. Like, you're getting information. Like, what's the purpose of Jonathan Jones, who's a very credible reporter for CBS, right?
Yeah, he's one of the guys, like, he is what, locking for, he's one of the NFL-partnered number one news guys. So, generally speaking, they don't say anything that will do things that people in power don't want.
Right, NFL. So what's the benefit of him, you know, burping this into the ether? And then what would be the benefit of, I know Dakota's not a reporter, but if he heard through the grapevine or his sources are telling him, what's the purpose of the sources telling him that, where it's just going to cause this stir, unless there's some type of small truth to it, even though it might not be something they're thinking about? I just don't get why, you know, it doesn't really seem like a clickbait for, especially for the Dakota, maybe. I don't know.
The Robin Glazer stuff with Dakota yesterday, and then Burt Breer coming out and saying, well, she's still in the building and everything. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 months, whatever. I don't want to misquote him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's some truth in that. I think that there's some issues going on within the Patriots organization, and I think Robin Glazer may have an issue moving forward. I don't think that she's lost her job yet, or if she's been moved.
But is she going to lose?
Yeah,
or, like,
that
is she
could
gotta
happen.
Be moved?
For Curtis's original question, I think there's more truth to that one than the Bill Belichick hasn't signed on a dotted line. If he hasn't signed yet, a lot of people came out and said, well, that's not that crazy for a new college coach to have not completely signed all the documentations yet. I think that Bill Belichick is going to be the coach in UNC, at
right,
UNC
question,
and going to be the coach for quite some time.
Right, but the question is he going to be the coach? I guess the question that Curtis is asking, and if even if it is something that college coaches done have done in the past, he hasn't signed.
Yeah, but
so, okay, and that's what you're asking, Curtis, right? So
yeah.
The reports are then there if they even if he's not going nowhere, he hasn't signed, so that just becomes a conversation. So it's, you know, when I saw both of those things, I was like, all right, and then I heard, Courtney, what you said, people saying, well, this is normal in college football. But I would think, like I guess, and Mike Lombardi said something, but why?
Yeah, well, why I mean, here's what I would say, Wiggs and Courtney. The very simple way I look at it, the only reason I don't believe a Dakota scoop is because I don't believe anybody on their own volition would want to talk to him because it's really tedious. But other than that, I do think that there is some truth to that. What I think about the Belichick thing is it began not with this, but with the Florio report that the ACC and UNC execs were miffed or worried or nervous about the fact that Bill Belichick hadn't filled out his staff. So from where I sit, I don't think it's this. It means that Bill's never going to coach North Carolina, but he's using this job as a means to get another job, which is what we all think. So
I don't
maybe
think
he's not going to hire a bunch of people to come in and coach and then walk out of them should something become available. Because I think still, if the Eagles lose this weekend, then Howie Roseman very well may fire Nick Sirianni and Bill Belichick sitting there. Why would you make it a more onerous process and sign the deal until you have to? And until then, he is in North Carolina. He has been hired. He is there recruiting. Like, you can do two things at once. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's, you know, 50-50, but I'd say 20% chance that Bill doesn't coach North Carolina would be a logical way to start.
If I'm being 100% honest, Curtis, I think that media people across the country are miffed that Bill Belichick actually took this UNC job because so many people, when the reports first came out that he was interviewing with them, said, oh, this is just a PR stunt to get NFL teams to hurry up and request him to interview in their building. And then once he took the position and then once he was kind of over the top, excited about it in the press conference, the Instagrams, the joining X, beat Duke, whatever. And so now it is kind of clickbaity to constantly put these headlines together that say Bill Belichick hasn't signed on the dotted line. Is he still considering an NFL comeback? I just think people don't want to believe that maybe he is happy at UNC and that it's so outrageous that the greatest NFL coach of all time could be happy at an ACC school.
See,
right
I don't think he's coming back to the NFL this year because he's hired a couple guys. I think he's hired a special teams coach, an offensive line coach.
His son.
His son, another defensive back coach from Washington. I don't think that he's coming back this year to the NFL, but I do think all of the kind of stuff that like is being thrown out there about, you know, Brady talking to Bill, teams might be interested in Bill, NFL teams. I ultimately think that he's probably looking at it and then with the whole buyout situation, I ultimately think that next year at this time, that's when he's really going to throw his hat into the ring, and that's when we'll see him back in the NFL. But I think this year, because like you said, he's on the road recruiting, he's doing all this other stuff.
If I can quickly, if Bill Belichick is offered a job in the NFL in the next 3 weeks, does he take it?
No.
He would.
I don't
yes,
think so.
Yes, of course he would.
The only question I would say is, you know, why hasn't nobody, like, and I get what you're saying, the Philadelphia, but why hasn't some of these teams, you know, requested to interview him? That's the only thing I would say.
Because it's a good question. I just think that the reason you saw the Tom Brady report with whatever that was, a week and a half ago, however long ago that was, with the Tom Pelissero saying that Brady reached out to Bill Belichick to see why he's not in the NFL, and he commented on how remarkably dumb it is that the greatest coach of all time is coaching in the ACC. And then you have Jim Gray this week on a house organ, which is run and operated by Tom, and won't have anything said that is not what the people that join it want to be said or asked. And Bill is pressured by Jim Gray about how obscene it is that he's not coaching. I think it can happen. I don't think it's a likelihood, but if he just signed the contract, it would be kind of a fait accompli, and then you'd have to pay $10 million if you want him to coach.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it. And I think it's a big story, and like, you know, it's kind of interesting. But to me, the bigger thing was the Jaylen Brown stuff. I mean, that is just like you're talking about a team that's trying to repeat, and then there's you know, whether you believe it or not, it, you know, whispers of them, the Celtics potentially trading him just so they can get under, what was it, get under the luxury tax or something like that.
I guess that would suck.
Yeah, I guess I would ask the question, like, so if you believe there's more truth to the Celtics story, then you do the Bill story, and do you believe the same thing, Courtney? There's more truth.
I don't believe either of the stories.
Okay, so you don't believe either of them. So I guess I'm talking
slow news day. I guess when it comes to these people and their reporting,
I guess I'm talking to you, Curtis. Yep. That would be that to me is like a you know that to me is like a major 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 story. I know the Bill thing is hot right now, but
oh no, I mean if that's true, Wiggs, that is one of the big stories in recent Boston sports history because you have the change in plans of a family and how they are planning for their estate and getting their affairs in order. Derailing the infancy of a potential dynastic run of a basketball team. And I'm with Courtney that, you know, if gun to my head, do I think either of these are 100% true? No. But do I think there are kernels of truth to both of them? Absolutely. So we'll get to all these. We'll get to our leads coming about in 15 minutes. I think Jackson avoided a softball yesterday. We'll get to that in his lead. We have the Jackson 5 every Friday at 8:45. Don't miss it. Courtney has the news at 7:30, and at 9:30 this morning, Kostos will get you game ready for what is, in my view, the best football-watching weekend of the year. But right now, here's Courtney.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? It is the Greg Hill Show. I realize I didn't even mention it. Greg's in Miami. You all know that. So he's about 90 minutes away, or he will be about 90 minutes away, heading down there today from myself here. With my family in Jupiter, we are the Greg Hill Show, Courtney and Wiggy and Jackson back in the studio. And I don't mean this as an insult to Scheim. However, I will give Jackson the credit in that along the Ken line of always having a rejoin with relevance to something either in that segment or the prior segment, Jackson's musical knowledge is ironically in tune with the segments, and that was an homage to the disastrous start we just had. So well done, Jackson.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Curtis.
And I texted Ken this morning. I'm like, I was unaware I was hosting. I don't know what's going on. What do you want us to do? He said, okay, whatever you want. I thought it would be easier with Curtis remote. I'm sure he can do it if you want, or alternate segments. I said, I have no problem doing it. I just had no idea. So the show started, and we both just stared at each other.
All right.
Oh God, I love the middle management Ken attitude. It's great. I just I could bathe in it. But Ken is great, as is the Greg Hill Show. And so Courtney was discussing something at the end of last segment about the Celsius Gate, which began on our show yesterday, which was, I believe, Courtney's lead yesterday.
Yes.
About the Celsius that went missing in our shared WEEI office fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So would you care to update everyone, Courtney, to the latest with that?
Yeah, so we did have somebody come forth. It was about 1:30 yesterday afternoon that they decided to present their side of the story on Grab Bag. On Jones and Thief is what I'm calling the show moving forward.
Sticky fingers.
Yeah. And he basically said, I went in there. It was in there and I took it. And he didn't care. He wasn't sorry. He said it was basically my fault because I didn't have my name written on it. But now we know that Rich Keefe is going into the fridge when he has no business in there.
Right.
He didn't bring anything and taking whatever he feels like he wants.
Right. The only point that he made that was, it was relatively a decent point, and he was trying to explain it to me yesterday after the show.
Oh, so you knew?
I didn't know.
No,
I didn't know. He was explaining the situation, like we were just having a conversation about your Celsius getting taken.
Wait, so but he was explaining how he took it or
no.
It was taken?
No, he was saying that, like, when he was basically saying that in the refrigerator, when there's like a like Gatorades or Coca-Colas or drinks, we get a lot of that stuff through promotion. And so maybe sometimes people put those in the refrigerator for promotions. And because it's like, you know,
we have never, ever. And I would love if Celsius is listening, please sponsor us. But
you get his point was with those type of drinks. The sales teams put those in there, and then it's not like a Tupperware that it looks like it was brought from somebody's crib. It looks like it could have been something that was put in there for promotional purposes.
That never happens. There would never be a promotional Celsius situation, and there would be two Celsius sitting in the fridge.
No, they could have been from upstairs. He's saying there could have been more in there, and then people went in there and just took them. So that was like, all right, I could kind of maybe see that.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has been in this industry for far too long, I know if you have anything within the grasp of someone else that isn't in a safe, it's eligible to be stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an incredibly obvious way when things are delivered and that we have the option to have. There'll be a, hey, we got a food drop today from the 99. Come help yourself. Or upstairs, Shaw's dropped off a bunch of great produce for the weekend. Whatever. There's things that have happened that we get an email blast on. There would never be just a solitary bottle of energy drink in a fridge that would be up for grabs.
Right.
No, I think it's like a case. Like, so if Ty Law, you know, he comes in with his Corvus Vodka and he brings it in every week, but he doesn't tell the people upstairs. If he happens to say, hey, I got this Corvus, and he tells us, and he's like, I'm going to put them in the refrigerator. And I think if, like, people go in there and they see it, they might say, oh, okay, this is something that one of the stations, because there's multiple radio stations in this building. So that was the only thing. But then I guess you guys got to with the footage, surveillance footage, where you're able to see it.
Yeah.
And then he admitted it.
Clear as day. And then he was like, I mean, if you go pull the tapes from Twitch that day, I was drinking it on air. It's all right. Yeah, he doesn't give an F, and it's very clear.
Right.
He has his panties in a bunch about what I said on Monday, which, again, I stand by, and I actually was giving him credit where I thought it was tough that everything fell on his lap, because I believe that he was told something from a source. I can't believe we were even going back here.
Right.
From a source that got everything right, but this source always had front office information and not culture inside the dressing room information. He went with it, as anybody would. And then he's getting the blame. So I don't know why I can be made fun of when I get a scoop wrong all the time. And then all of a sudden now I'm like enemy number one because I voiced my opinion. But that's neither here nor there. He got his revenge. He got my Celsius. We all know what he was doing.
And so there he is on Twitch with him walking with it in his hand.
Yep.
And so he's basically he knew they were yours prior. That's
he says he didn't. That's the only people that drink Celsius in this building or on this floor are myself and Mego.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a it was a fascinating find. I thought that the footage was remarkable that Courtney was able to unearth, and right. I'm not siding with Keith, but if you're in radio forever, you just assume that if it's there, people don't care about losing it.
Right.
That is what I would say. I would say if you put something in the joint fridge at WEEI, you don't want it ever again. But that is not a defense per saying that you thought it was a promotional item.
He should have never copped to it, though.
Right.
Because it's really hard to tell. It just looks like he has something in his hand. And then it would have been Jaylen Brown or Brad Marchand type of scoop where, well, we don't really know. I guess we just have to base on what we believe.
Like I said, right. He likes
but
to
he copped to it.
More than just Bruins rumors.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Courtney, this is what I would be, my analogy for this would be, in the opening hour of the show yesterday, you said that Pittsburgh is known as the city of bridges.
Uh-huh.
Greg said no. You were proven right, and then he made a Santo joke.
Right.
This is sort of like Keith had a story. You poo-pooed it. He took your Celsius.
Exactly.
It's kind of, cause and effect. But we all love Keith. Listen to Jones and Keith at 10.
Well, I love
but
him
let's
a
get...
little bit less, to be honest.
Yeah, so, right. So
I love Jones.
We love Jones. And
Billy Lanny, who had my back big time yesterday.
Billy is one of the nicest people I've ever met in this business or any other place. He's awesome. Let's get to this, though, before Ken yells at me for not hosting properly.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I said to let this breathe for a bit that, like, I thought Courtney was going to wonder if I was still hosting. So, what's the song here?
I'm sorry. It's called Been Caught Stealing.
By who?
By Jane's Addiction.
Woo, I like Jane's Addiction. Yeah. I like their 80s stuff best. What era are you favorite?
90s. Like that is not, right smack in the 90s.
I love it. Okay, well, Jackson is in. Shime is off today because he worked last night. Greg is on his way to Florida. I'm in Florida. What is your lead, Jackson?
My lead is a show recommendation, especially for the Parlay Prince over here. Weegee, have you ever seen the show Bookie?
Parlay Playboy.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Parlay Playboy. The show Bookie on Max.
Oh, yes. I love that show.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Yeah. What's his name? Sebastian?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes.
And Jorge something or other. The
black dude?
No, well, I forget his name, but the big guy from Lost.
His name is actually Jorge something or other.
Yes, no, I know
Jorge
what you're talking about.
So, anybody that likes gambling or likes comedy or a mix of both, check out that show on Max. I think it's two seasons now.
Omar Dorsey is his name.
His partner.
Who plays his partner. Do you watch the show?
I watch the show. I love it. It's fantastic.
It's season two. It is funny. It is a good show. Charlie Sheen does.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen plays himself pretty much a gambling drug addict, and it's Sebastian Maniscalco is a bookie over in L.A. and it follows him around with his
his partner who's his muscle. It was a former football player.
Yeah. Yep. So if you need a show to watch, I highly recommend Bookie on Max.
Love it.
All right. Thank you, Jackson. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Now, I found it interesting. Deion Sanders was on the Tamron Hall show and talked about his son, Shador, talking about the upcoming draft and said, it's a couple of teams that I won't allow him to play for. He goes on, this is my profession. I know what's behind the curtain. We ain't got to go get back there and find what's not prominent for my son. I'm not doing it. I think this is a slippery slope when it comes to fathers in professional sports that also are in the same sport as their son and saying where in which they would like their son to play. I find it interesting that when LeBron James did this with Bronny, and I understand before people jump down my throat, well, Bronny wasn't that good. Bronny shouldn't be in the NBA. Shador is unbelievable. He's going to go, whatever. it's still the same thing at the end of the day where LeBron was saying, wherever Bronny plays, I'm going to go play. It's enticing teams to then take Bronny that wouldn't otherwise. Now, Deion Sanders is saying that his son, he's not going to allow him to play for certain teams. Mm-hmm. What does that say about the NFL moving forward? If you have somebody in Deion Sanders that can go on the Tamron Hall show and say, hey, the Browns, no thanks.
Right.
This team, no thanks. When you have these teams that have top picks and probably could really use him, I think it's a slippery slope, and I don't understand why people aren't as outraged when it comes to Deion saying this as people were when it came to LeBron.
Because we did this before. We did it with Eli Manning. We did it with Eli in Elway too. But I think Eli is, you know, more recent where the family stepped in and like what our kid's not playing for. I believe it was the Chargers at the time.
That's correct.
And ultimately got they traded the pick. I can't remember. He ended up in New York. So we've been down this road.
It's fairly different when you have Deion, who's going to be a head coach potentially in the league, and you had LeBron, who is also a player in the NBA. Like, that's where the disconnect comes from for me. Mm-hmm. Where when you're talking about these dads that are working in the same exact league at the same time as their sons.
Yeah, well, I mean, Deion's technically not in the NFL.
But he's going to be. We all believe that.
I guess, but until... But even if he was in the NFL, unless he's doing this to get Shador to his team, then like you'd be like, all right, that's a slippery slope. But he's not, and I think that.
Do you like this though?
No, I think that you get drafted, you go play whoever draft. But I also understand that some of these organizations are ran, you know, horrifically. And if you do get drafted and go somewhere that is a crappy organization, they can ruin you as a quarterback. I mean, like, you think about it. We've seen it with, you know, just some of the guys.
All the Jets and Dolphins guys, the Bills before they got to Josh Allen.
I mean, I'm not going to say, like, well, I'm not going to use, like, Trevor Lawrence.
But you shouldn't have an upper hand just because your dad works or could potentially be a head coach in the league.
No, but I don't think you have – I don't think that's the – I think the upper hand is – if you're that good of a player, which Shador is going to be a top three pick. I think Eli might have been a top three pick. Elway was pretty high, top five. If you're that type of player and you feel like this organization is not very good, you could be like, I'm not going to do this. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, Courtney. And for me, I just think it's about you go where, you know, it's a blessing and it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a privilege to get drafted in the NFL. But you go there, but you also, I guess maybe they look at it and go, these teams ruined guys before, and I don't want to get ruined.
Yeah.
Greatly, Courtney, I would say simply that the player has the leverage up and until the draft. So they're going to try and say things to curry direction from certain organizations or to get away from other places. But just like Caleb Williams last year around this time was saying he was going to demand ownership of the Bears. I just think it's going to be likely unfounded. But I will say this, more power for the players is great, and it's as it should be. But both in college and pro, it's not good news for fans. Because these guys have leverage. They can stay in college and get paid a ton of money and not go to the NFL in a year when their first pick is going to be on an organization they don't want to go to. And they don't even have to hold anything hostage the way Deion is alluding to.
Right, but Shador, that's the thing about Shador. Shador is done with his eligibility. So he couldn't go back to college. He would have to either get drafted by that team, sit out, or...
But what if he sits out a year, and if you're Shador Sanders, maybe... Obviously, the son of Deion Sanders will never have to worry about money, but work with me. Mm-hmm. If you were a normal guy in college, and instead of having to go to the NFL and get money for your family and do things, you stay out of the NFL, you sit out a year because you've just been paid $2 million by Clemson. You know what I mean? Like that has a higher likelihood now of happening than it did 5 years ago.
Right, but the problem is Clemson's not giving him $2 million to just be a regular student. Shador doesn't.
No, he's already been paid $2 million. So he has $2 million in the
so
bank.
So you're just saying he stays at Colorado and becomes a grad student?
He just something? Does whatever. Goes and practices and trains for a year. Do a gap year, as some kids do.
I mean, you could probably do that, but we know how the NFL is. The NFL, they're moving on to the next. And they'll be looking.
That's a,
They'll be looking at the guys that come out next year, and they'll be like, well, this guy, he would have to, if he really wanted to, like, really, he would have to be like, all right, I'm going to play in the UFL, the Spring League, just to kind of keep the rust off and, you know, where teams would go, like, all right, he's not sitting around, not doing anything, but he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Courtney, good lead. We'll get to Wiggies in Mind coming up next, and don't miss it in about 45 minutes. The highest rated segment of the show, the news with Courtney. Somewhere at Logan, Greg is just boogieing to this right now, getting ready for his big trip south. He will be back Monday. He's off today. We're in the middle of the leads. Wiggy, what is your lead this morning?
All right, so good morning. I feel like I think I might have one of the best leads of 2025.
Wow.
This lead is so, my opinion, so good. So yesterday we talked about the NBA and how they could fix their issues with the three-point line. And let me tell you something. I'm here to fix it for the National Basketball Association. Here's what the NBA should do. So they don't have to change the court side. They don't have to do anything to alter the game where it's going to be so shocking to people they're not used to seeing what's going on. Eliminating the corner three, moving the three-point line back. Very simple. The NBA should adopt a rule that basically every shot is a two-pointer until the last 5 minutes of each quarter is when the three-point line will then take effect.
I don't mind that.
Last 5 minutes of each quarter. Why not the last 5 minutes of the halves?
Whatever. I mean, if it has to be the half, but we start with the quarters, and then we see, does that help the league out? And if not, then maybe we say, all right, maybe it's better we go the last 5 minutes of the second quarter, you know, like you said, Curtis, of each half.
I like it, Wiggs.
I like it, too.
I love it.
And then you don't have to move three-point lines. You don't have to eliminate corner threes. Teams would still be able to utilize the three-point shot, but it would be more of a kind of a end of the half, end of a game weapon that they could utilize maybe to get back in a game if they need. They'd have to play better defense because they couldn't dig themselves so deep of a hole and go, well, we could just hawk up a bunch of threes to get back.
And if it's the end of the game and the team's behind and threes aren't falling for the Celtics, say, then they're not going to be forcing it.
Right.
I like that.
Changes the whole landscape of the game without changing the actual, you know, court dimensions and all that other kind of stuff. So,
and you, I love this too because two reasons. One, you would have like a sharpshooter, mm-hmm. right? Your best 3-point shooter basically waiting like a closer
right.
to come into the game for the final couple minutes when he's going to be needed to get the team back into it or put a team away. And I like that this is kind of the opposite of the way it used to be. Major League Baseball was a league that looked at its television ratings, looked at the fan base's age, and said, we need to make major changes with the pitch clock and with extra innings. And I think other leagues now, the NFL's always done it, so they're kind mm-hmm. of their own. But I love that the NBA is taking this head on because there's going to be interesting ways to do it, and even the conversation will bring buzz.
Right, right. So it's just another way to not drastically change the game, but still utilize the three-point line. Like you said, it'll be more of a weapon strategy-wise. Because when teams get down by 20, remember back in the days when teams were down by 22 points, I was like, oh, game's over. But nowadays you fall behind 20 and it's like, you know, that's nothing. Now it's just, you know, hawk up a couple threes, turn it up on defense, and you're right back into it. So I think there'll be more strategy that would have to be taken into consideration if this was, and Curtis, I'm with you on the each half. I can ride with that if you want to do that. Maybe it even makes it even better. So
yeah, and then you could also separate the rules for the playoffs. You know, things can change there. But Wiggs, A+. I love it. Just very interesting. Shaughnessy has a column today about where the Patriots are. And obviously the number one talking point with the Patriots for the next couple weeks will be who is the offensive coordinator. And Josh McDaniels is out there. There are several candidates that have been rumored about coming here. But I think outside of Vrabel, which was a slam dunk, the Crafts and what they will be willing to spend on their coordinator and what they will be willing to sacrifice will tell us a lot. Shaughnessy notes this today, that Brady and Belichick are long gone, obviously. In their absences, Shaughnessy writes, the Crafts have emerged as meddling, overrated owners enlarged through the greatness of their former quarterback and coach. And that's harsh, but true. And hiring Mike Vrabel is great. Bringing in a coordinator is great. What they spend, how they build this team, I don't know if the Crafts understand just how far they have fallen. And there was a lot of people that were enraged that Bill left, but they were made even more angry based on the way that Bill Belichick was depicted by his former owner in the Dynasty docuseries, and then the comments over the course of this season, and then the very clunky Gerard Mayo year. This will be, from my perspective, fascinating. They've nailed Vrabel. I think we all agree on that. Mm-hmm. But what they do and how they hire this coordinator, I thought Mago made some good points. I saw a story by her and a tweet from on X about how Josh McDaniels was so great with Mac Jones. I'm kind of on the Josh McDaniels train. Let's do it. I know it's kind of old people things. He did a lot of play calls that bothered me, but we also had caviar taste at that time. Like, I think we were spoiled by all the great football we had seen. I go with Josh, but either way, Mike Vrabel was not enough to get everybody back saying the Crafts are going in the right direction. They still have a lot of big decisions to make. So those are our leads today. We have They Said It with Jackson coming up in about 5 minutes, and we have the news with Courtney at 7:30.